Good morning and welcome to our worship on this Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. What gets more attention? The place where you live or the place where the Holy Spirit is to live? That is, your heart. Neglecting either place will catch up to us, one more than the other, as our earthly dwelling place is for this life only. But the soul, it could live on forever in paradise, or it could be on fire forever. How important it is, then, to keep paying attention to our soul. And this is just one place and time to do just that. God bless our worship to that end. If you haven't found the bulletin yet for our worship, you can find it on our website, under the Staying Connected to God's Word link or under the Media link. If you receive our weekly emails, you'll also see a link to our worship bulletin there, together with our weekly news and our Bible study handouts. Again, God's blessings in your worship as we now turn our attention to our opening song. It's number 538 in Christian Worship, The Church's One Foundation. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father,
I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, you know that we are surrounded by many dangers and that we often stumble and fall. Strengthen us in body and mind and bring us safely through all temptations.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The word of our Lord for this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord comes to us from the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, where we see evidence of the fact that Jesus is the one referenced to be the prophet of prophets, and it is good for us to listen to him. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thanks to Jesus, the Son, we have been brought into God's house. Contemplate what that means for you as we hear these words from Hebrews 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are His house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. The word of the Lord. We continue at the responsive sentences. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous.
For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
We turn our attention to the gospel for today. It's from Mark chapter 1, where again Jesus reveals his power and his authority through word and action, tying in well with the Epiphany season focus that Jesus indeed has appeared among us in the flesh. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The gospel of the Lord. We turn now to our hymn of the day from Christian Worship number 395, "If Your Beloved Son, O God."
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance. And this is from God our Father, through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus our attention this Sunday on the second reading from Hebrews chapter 3, where we hear once again, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear people of God, redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thanks to the work of the Holy Spirit using the means of grace, the gospel in the word itself and the sacraments brings us into a relationship with Jesus and keeps us in it through that same means of grace. Remember when you could go into a movie theater? And after you ordered that large bucket of popcorn with extra butter oozing all over the kernels and that soda, you went into the theater itself to find a seat. And after you got all settled in and put your phone on silent, you were ready for the next 90-plus minutes to stay fixed on that movie you went to see. And after the movie, you kept what you saw to yourself, right? Rather, just the opposite. You talked up that movie with the people perhaps that you went to that movie with, or perhaps with friends and co-workers during the week. You talked up that movie, what you saw. Maybe not giving away everything as you encourage them to go see that movie. Remember when you could go into a place of worship and do just that? Now, our place of worship is in our house, or in our vehicle, or under the sky, dealing with the elements as best we can. While worship inside our beautiful facility is the ideal for a good number of us, the place does not matter as much as who is at the heart of our worship and what we are to do with him who is to be at the heart of our worship. Jesus is among us. Jesus is in our homes. Jesus is in our vehicles. Jesus is under the blue sky with us. Thus, our hearts and our minds are to be fixed on Jesus, what he has to say for our good, which includes words of correction as well as words of forgiveness and direction. The writer to the Hebrews, well, he helps us do just that, to give our attention to Jesus, who is to be the center of our worship. We are encouraged to fix our hearts and our minds on Jesus because, for as the writer to the Hebrews points out, he knows how important Jesus is to one's life because Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the way to heaven. And so by inspiration, the writer to the Hebrews uses a key word to begin the chapter. Therefore, based on what has been said before, and so if you have your Bibles open, you can look at the end of chapter 2 and see what it says there, what that therefore is referencing in part. It's giving us vital information about Jesus, and it ties in well with the Epiphany season. It goes back to what we need to keep in mind about Jesus, because he is the Savior, and he is the way to heaven. And so how important it is then to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Jesus took on our humanity. He has dwelt among us, and how important it was for Jesus to do just that. To be under the curse of sin as we are under the curse, and yet above the curse, its consequences, as he was sinless. And that's the kind of Savior we needed. One who was without sin. Who thus could take his perfect self and be the perfect sacrifice that was required to atone for our sin. And so let us fix our thoughts on Jesus, who took on flesh to do what needed to be done with us in mind. He destroyed the power of death, we are told. How important that is, because death is all around us, and especially for this last year, how much death has been talked up, in particular because of one cause, but the cause behind that, behind death, all death, goes back to Genesis 3, sin in the world. And from that moment on, even before, God has been preparing his creation for death. Thus, the importance of fixing our thoughts on Jesus, because he is the Savior. He is the way to deal with, to overcome death. We can try to escape it, but sooner or later, it's going to come to us all. Unless Jesus comes back first. And so how important it is to contemplate the fact that Jesus has destroyed the power of death. It cannot have mastery over us in Christ. And along with that, that word therefore goes back to emphasize that Jesus has freed us from the power of the devil. We don't have to give in to sin. We can say no to it. Not by our human strength, but with the Holy Spirit working in us. Reminding us of what it is that God wants for our life. Not going down the sinful path, but the path of righteousness. And so the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, reminding us of who Jesus is and what he has done for us, and how then we are to live our life. Not out of fear and law, but out of love and want to. Jesus, the one who took on flesh for us, has destroyed the power of death and has freed us from the slavery of the devil by being the high priest of high priests. The high priests in the Old Testament, as you recall, were to represent the people and offer sacrifices first for their own sins, because they were not righteous into themselves to stand before God. And then after that was done to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. But Jesus, he was able to sacrifice himself, not for any of the sins he had committed, because he did not, but for our sins. And that's the point that the writer of the Hebrews is getting across, especially to the Jews who had become followers of Christ, but were being tempted to go back to their Jewish ways of focusing in on the law and the sacrifices that they had to make. He's emphasizing, why go back to what was pointing ahead to what was to come? All those sacrifices in the Old Testament that the high priests then and the people were to offer all pointed to the sacrifice of sacrifices that has already been made by Jesus Christ. So why go back? Go forward in Christ. And same with you and me today. Why go back? Why continue to dwell on sins that have been forgiven? Learn from those sins, yes. But no need to dwell on those sins, because they have been forgiven, wiped out from God's memory, as far as the east is from the west, thanks to Jesus the Savior. So fix your thoughts on him when Satan comes knocking with your past life. It's been forgiven. Move forward in Christ. Keep in mind, another reason why to fix our thoughts on Jesus is that he was tempted relentlessly by the devil while he was here in flesh. So he knows temptation. He can relate. And so when we are encouraged to call upon the name of Jesus to help us, he knows what we're going through, even more so. And yet, as the book of Hebrews reminds us, we have one, Jesus, who has been tempted in every way, yet was without sin. So how important it is to fix our thoughts on Jesus, to go to him for strength, to resist the temptations that are put before us. Jesus, you know what temptation is, and you have resisted it. And Jesus, you know what temptations are before me in the flesh. And you, Jesus, are able to give me the strength to resist. And Lord, when I do fall, pick me up again. And he does. But that's not an excuse to give in to temptation. God's mercy is the motivation all the more to recognize what temptation is for us, because it can be different for each one of us, whether it be drugs, alcohol, sex, or whatever it be. God, help us recognize what that is. And by helping us stay fixed on Jesus, help us resist it and overcome it. Jesus is the only Savior we need because, as the writer points out, he is the apostle and the high priest. He is the one who was sent by God the Father to be the Savior, the Messiah. And throughout the season of Epiphany, we are reminded of how he is the one. Through the words of authority that he spoke, through the miracles that he performed, there was to be no mistake that that was Jesus, the Messiah in the flesh before them, who had come to do what God had promised when the time was right. So keep our thoughts fixed on Jesus, who is faithful in meeting our need of becoming reconciled with God the Father. He was more faithful than Moses. Again, the Jews looked up to Moses as a faithful servant of God, and rightly so, because overall Moses was indeed a faithful servant of God, carrying out God's wishes for his people, leading them from Egypt to the earthly promised land. It wasn't an easy road to travel. But God gave Moses the ability to lead his people. But greater than Moses is Jesus. And for us too, and we're tempted to look at human beings as being all great and mighty and the Savior that we need, look again. Look again at Jesus. No one can do what Jesus has done. No one can give up their own life and do what Jesus has done for you. Win complete and full and free forgiveness of sins. And win for you a hope of hopes, a hope that goes beyond this life. So keep your thoughts fixed on Jesus. And continue to lift him up in your heart. Jesus is the Savior of Saviors, the real deal. For he, along with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, put everything into motion. All that we see and hear and feel, it all started with God. Go back to Genesis 1 and 2. And God's not the one who messed it up. His creation did. And yet God is come up with a way to help creation through that. God is indeed the grand architect. And so who better to listen to for our soul and how to take care of it than the one who created us? Keep our thoughts fixed on Jesus. Jesus is the way to heaven. And since this is the case, we need to remain fixed on him. And one of the ways to do that is not giving up meeting together. Maybe we can't meet indoors at this point in time, but we can still meet together as we're doing online, as we're doing in vehicles, as we're doing outside. And when we're reading the Bible, keep in mind there are other Christians throughout the world reading their Bibles as well. And as we meet together in the various ways, encourage one another. Encourage those who are around you. Send an email, send a text, Send a tweet. Send a letter by mail. Pray. Pray for people you don't know. There are so many ways that we can encourage one another as we are encouraged to do so by God. And if your friends are encouraging you not to keep your thoughts fixed on Jesus and are encouraging you to go and get drunk or go and have sex whenever and with whoever or whatever the case might be, are they really your friends? Because who's really looking out for your well-being? Your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. It's not friends who tempt you into sin and encourage you to sin, to live in ways that God despises. Rather, it is those who encourage you to do what is pleasing in God's sight, who are concerned about your well-being, not just for today, but tomorrow and for all eternity. True friends encourage you to keep your thoughts fixed on Jesus at all times. There are still standards in this world, God's standards. Even though the world may not have standards itself, or they have their own standards to justify their living in defiance of God, their natural knowledge of the law and natural knowledge of God, that doesn't change God's standards and how we are to live by them. And how important it is to fix our thoughts on Jesus through word and sacrament to keep living by His standards. Keeping in mind, we have been given a heavenly calling. We didn't bring ourselves to God. God has called us through word and sacrament to be His own, to be a part of His house. Contemplate what that means for you day after day and for eternity. There's a bigger picture for us to focus on. Romans 8 reminds us of that. That none of the things that happen to us here in this earth can separate or take away what God has won for us in Christ Jesus. How important it is then to keep our thoughts fixed on Him who has given us such to help endure the trials and tribulations of this life and to give us something to look forward to for the next life. Hold on to Jesus through worship and Bible study, individual or group study. Think about such things, about what you read, about what you hear. Keep in mind that a house neglected, well, eventually it's going to fall apart and be worth nothing. A soul neglected will eventually fall away and end up in the fires of hell. How important it is then to take the writer to the Hebrews' words to heart, to keep your thoughts fixed on Jesus, the Savior, the one who is the way to heaven and who wants that for you. Be a Moses then, in the fact that he was a faithful follower of God's will. Be a Moses, taking up the task before you to not only fix your thoughts on Jesus, but to also lead the thoughts of others to Jesus. Hold on. Ask yourself then, and ask those who have drifted, do you really comprehend what Jesus has done for you and why He did this for you? If you do, if they do, the response is obvious. You remain fixed on Him. And if people are not fixed on Him, well, you have more to pray about without ceasing. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus through His word and sacrament. Amen. Let's now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God and Mary's Son, in the fullness of time you came into our world to save us from sin and death. You ushered in the day of grace so long foretold. Beloved Son of the Father, revered by the Magi, baptized by John, you came preaching and teaching, healing and comforting, forgiving and encouraging. You brought the light of life to those walking in darkness and the joy of salvation to those doomed to death. Prince of Peace, shine like a beacon for us and the people of our world. Let the good news of salvation be heard in the remotest corners of the earth. Open our own lips to speak your name to those around us who still live without faith or hope. Arouse us and our missionaries to flood the world with the light of your gospel. Lord of the church, let your peace rule our hearts, that we may use our gifts to serve you and each other in willing gratitude and joy. Watch over our loved ones near and far, that they may remember your love and rejoice in your salvation. Strengthen the faith of the sick and the disheartened. Give hope to those in despair and comfort those who mourn. Be gracious to all and lead us to reflect your love in everything we say and do. O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice and in your fold with us rejoice. Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given to spread your gospel near and far and bring people into heaven. Thank you for the birthdays being celebrated this week. Continue to fill their lives with good things in addition to the gift of faith. And thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Finally, bring us and all your believers to the heavenly home, where we will stand in the full light of your glory, and with all your saints and angels, sing the everlasting song of triumph. Amen. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.
Just a reminder that we do have Bible study taking place online. It starts at 9:15 and goes till 9:50. We're looking at how to interpret and study the Bible. Again, the study guides for that can be found on our website as well as on that email that gets sent out each week. Sunday School for Families, those materials are being sent to the homes directly at this point in time, and the teen Zoom link, you can contact Pastor Grove to get connected with that. Just a reminder that we will be starting a member information course. It can be a good review for members, as well as an opportunity for those who want to learn more about our church to do just that. Those begin next Saturday. If you're interested in signing up for that or want more information, you can talk to Pastor Groth on that. The offering envelopes for 2021 are available in our library. If you cannot make it during the week and you haven't picked yours up yet, you can contact the office and we'll find a way to get those to you. Thank you for your ongoing prayers and support, as well as words of encouragement to your family and friends, and even to your neighbors and strangers that you come across. God bless you in your week ahead.